Okay, very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 15th of June 2017. It's a Thursday. So, Sri An will be away for about 2 months. So, we will shift the venue to Brother Tio and Sister Pamasuri's house for this 2 months. Okay, a very good evening to all. Then we just had our puja offering. So now we will chant our puja chanting. Develop the spiritual faculty. Compose your mind. Develop the saddha, which is the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then the spiritual zeal, virya. Then we shall mindfully commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Quan Sim Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can now be seated. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will commence our puja chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dhatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dhatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Mahamesu Michachara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majjhapamadatthana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna Sarappadithena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang Kanda sambarayutena Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumenanena Punnena tena cha ho tu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasabhavang Adivase tu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganha tumutamang Adivase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganha tumutamang Adivase tunobante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patiganha tumutamang Vishana Chanda Puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One. Wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that this be heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Padang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. สังหังพุทเธมิ Okay, you can be seated. We are off the light, so that you can have half an hour of meditation. Okay. For those who know how to meditate, straight away you can start. For those who still need instruction or who are still new, you need to train your mind to develop the peacefulness, the calmness, and the mindfulness within to meditate. Then you can use some skillful means, like mind sweeping method or loving kindness.Or even anapanasati, they can help you train your mind. So for those who are new, I will give some instruction. For your mind to be peaceful, you need to have the spiritual faculty, saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. To understand this palitam, you have to read up a bit. There are transcript books on it, so hopefully you all can read it up. Basically, it's the five spiritual faculties that can make you peaceful, calm, overcome the five mental hindrances. So if you have developed them well, your meditation will be very simple. The first three is very important. The first one is saddha.Faith in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by virya, spiritual zeal, to go this way after knowing who the Buddha is and how special this teaching is. Then the third one is sati or mindfulness, which is the silent mind, the meditative mind, the awareness before the knowing. Now this is the most important mind quality that you need to develop and train.So all of meditation centered on developing mindfulness to stabilize our mind. So this sati or mindfulness, once you develop the ability to have it, you have to stabilize it until it becomes very stable, accumulating to samadhi, which is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind.Born of a very stable mindfulness. Then when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are to realize the wisdom, the last of the five spiritual faculty. So when we understand this, our focus is to train our mind to have sati, mindfulness. And this is the most important training. You can do the bowing, body and mind move as one without thought.That is sati. Then you can also silence your mind and just note your breathing. Then breathing in, you're aware. Breathing out, you're aware. You can just relax body and mind. Feel yourself completely relaxed, silent, no more thinking. Then you can, if you want to, straight away go into anapanasati, so that your mind can be trained.Be calm, to be peaceful, to be aware, and to stabilize. But for those who prefer the mind sweeping method, you can also use it. So mind sweeping method is very simple. You just relax body and mind, close your eye, make sure your backbone is straight, then don't think, just aware. Maintain mindfulness or awareness. Initially,After you close your eye, you can feel your forehead, feel your forehead soothingly, relax, relax, and relax your forehead. You can detect any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You just silently relax them all. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle, do the same, feel, relax. Then your facial muscle do the same, feel and relax. Each and every strand, feel it soothingly, relax. Then you can also visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, your facial muscle will relax. Then there is joy, there is happiness. That's why your mind will quiet down. Then you use this quiet mind to radiate love and metta to yourself. You can recite, following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness and the peacefulness and calmness within your own body and mind. You can repeat it. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. You must feel the peacefulness, the joy, the calmness. Then we can radiate this same love and metta to all beings. Starting with our loved ones, may all my loved ones do be well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can move on to radiate this metta to all beings within the vicinity of this house. May all beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, within the vicinity of this house, and all Kayanamitas, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Free from all harm and danger, free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we continue to radiate this loving kindness of metta to all beings. May all beings within the entire Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, Planet Earth, and all beings within the entire solar system, our Milky Way, our galaxy, and all beings throughout the entire existence, entire universe. May they all too be well, happy and peaceful, free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free of all physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle, just feel, relax everything. Then you sweep it down to your neck, shoulder, hand, back to neck, shoulder, and silent everything, just feel, relax. Then you move your attention down to your heart area, your chest area. This is where the seed of consciousness arise and pass away. The heartbeat arise and pass away. And this is a very important location within your entire body. You just silence your mind and just feel. You can detect any vibration or your own heartbeat. Then just stay there, silent everything. If you are still new, you lack practice and training, if you cannot be aware of anything, it's okay. Just feel, like you feel your forehead, then you just relax into the whole chest area. Whatever tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you sweep this mindfulness or awareness down to your stomach. Do the same. Feel, relax. Abdomen, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. Then your buttock, feel, relax. You can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method upward. From your buttock, just feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax them all. Then you move your attention up to your abdomen. Again, you feel and relax. Then move to your stomach, feel, relax. Then you move to your heart area. Stay there, silent everything, feel. Whatever vibration or heartbeat that you can detect, just stay there. You can't, you just relax it and move on to your neck, shoulder, hand, feel, relax, then move it to your facial muscle. Feel, relax every part of your facial muscle. Then your eye muscle, do the same, feel and relax, relax and relax. Then your forehead. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you should develop the stability of this trained mind in calmness, in peacefulness and awareness. We are anchoring it to an object of meditation that you are familiar with. It can be either the breathing, mindfulness of the in and out breath, or any object of meditation that you are familiar with. It can be rising, falling of the abdomen. Buddha, you can chant the name Buddha, Buddha. Breathing in, Buddha, breathing out, Do, or any mantra that you are able to develop faith, you can use them. If you got no object of meditation, then just train yourself in anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So when you can be mindful of your in and out breath, that is anapanasati. That is the mindfulness of the in and out breath, to train your mind to be mindful, to anchor the mind to the breath so that it's always with the moment, aware of the in and out breath, then silence everything. Okay, I will let you continue your meditation. If you are new, always remember, within split second your mind will run. The mindfulness of the in and out breath cannot be developed. You just patiently come back to the breathing, silence everything, then allow the mind to detect the breathing. Then breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Continue to train it this way. Not long, the anapanasati will develop and you will become very quiet, very peaceful, very calm. You will experience piti, a type of spiritual calmness or spiritual joy. Then you continue to relax and silent and maintain the mindfulness of the in and out breath. Your mind will become more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Then finally, you will transform into Sukha. Sukha is a blissful state of mind. very blissful, very calm. And as you continue to train, relax and silent, pity and sukha will be transformed until the mind becomes very quiet, very still, very subtle. Like little and no breathing, like the breath stop. That is pasati, the meditative mind, the silent mind. The mind that is completely silent, aware. This is the meditative mind that you train. So just relax and silent your mind and just feel. And this mind that is in sati will become very sensitive. It can meditate, it can understand many, many things. Then you want to, you can relax everything, silent everything, and just feel your breathing until the silent breath come back to you. Or you can go to your heart area and just anchor your awareness there. Wherever you can detect whether it's your heartbeat or vibration around your heart area, you just silent everything and just feel, let it detect by itself. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Okay, slowly, mind body, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. You got the wireless pass to AB. Yeah. We will chant the Pali together after AB.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammang Munirajasa Sunandu Sagga Mokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Beso Bhagava Hang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Sattha Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akkaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Uyupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukkani อัตตาปุริสาปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยดักเกเนโยอัญจะลิกะระเนโยอนุตรังปุญญะเกตังโลกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุ Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Buddhang Pujami Dhammang Pujami Sanghang Pujami.Okay, you can be seated. Then we will open it up for Q&A. Reporting of meditation followed by Q&A, question and answer. Then after that, we may discuss the eight great awakening sutta. Some other commentary.They use the title, the Eight Realization Sutta. These are mainly for Bodhisattva who walks the path of Bodhisattva. So as they walk, as they cultivate, they will come to this realization. So this sutta summarizes all those realizations into eightvery useful realization, realized by all those great beings who walk this way, mainly the bodhisattvas. I think in Mandarin, Mahayana, they call it Pa Ta Zen Zen Jue Jing. Jue is awakening or realization. Pata Ren Jue Jing. Okay. Anybody wants to report the meditation or ask any question? You just have to raise your hand, then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? As usual, very quiet. Nobody? Okay, you don't have. Maybe we will discuss this particular sutta. This was requested by Sister Padmasuri. Okay, in front of you, I think you have a copy, Isha. The Great Awakening Sutta, or Pata Ren Jue Jing. According to the sutta, this particular sutta, they were translated from the Pali. This is what Shamana Ansoko, I also don't know how to pronounce, of the later Han Dynasty, Buddhist disciple. So the opening statement advises, at all time, whether day or night, you should sincerely recite and bear in mind this eight truth or realization.That cause great people to awaken or enlighten. So that's why they have summarized them in this way. The first awakening, you have to understand, reflect and contemplate clearly. There are some guidelines given here, but I think the English translationmay not sound that accurate. Anyway, I will explain to you all. This will be useful for initial cultivator who walk this way. Then if you have this sutta to guide you, it can help you along. But if you use it as a knowledge and try to develop all this understanding via knowledge, then it will not help you. It will in fact become a burden to you. But if you cultivate, then you realize all this, then it's very beautiful. This one are mainly for the Sakyamuni's lineage. That lineage where they go the Sangha way. That's why later on as we go through, they got this number 7. Number 7 is more of renunciation. The 7 awakening. So I will read this one first so that you understand. The 7 realization or awakening. He said, the 5 desires are the source of offense and grief. Truly great people, ladies included, are not blighted by worldly pleasure. Means the desire of the 5 senses. Then including the mind, you can have 6. Instead, they aspire to don the 3-piece precept robe and the blessing bowl of the monastic life. Their ultimate ambition is to leave home, leave the home life, to cultivate the path with impeccable purity. Their virtuous quality are lofty and sublime. Their attitude towards all beings or creatures are just kindness and compassion. So this one is towards renunciation, towards living the home life, to strive on with heedfulness via the homeless life, or in our society it means you become a monk, you renounce the world. But as I have explained, cultivation can be done in many ways. You can renounce the world in many ways. You don't have to like fix your view on one possible way. Means you have to renounce the world via becoming a monk. Means you go for ordination, you put on the robe. It's always mentioned that when you do that, you can develop the training more easily, because like they use the word, as a monk, you devote full time to cultivation. That's why the Buddha came out with this tradition. He called it the Sangha tradition, where there is this synergy between the lay community and the Sangha. When the Sangha is established, they have this opportunity for cultivators, for those who are determined to go this way, to go full-time. Full-time means you renounce the world, you put on the robe, you go for ordination, then you take all those monks' precepts, then you cultivate. You can join a community, which could be a temple, or whatever. Sometimes they can be on their own as a yogi cultivating in the deep forest or at some quiet places which is conducive. It all depends on the being or person who do the cultivation. If you don't have the faith, if you don't have the understanding, you don't have the perseverance and the sincerity, you may not progress the way it is supposed to be. So all this depends on the individual. So a lot of people, especially the later part of civilization, they renounce not because they want to go this way and strive. Some they have this idea, outside very difficult to get full employment. So instead of having to work, they join the what they call, they join the Sangha. And when you join the Sangha, they thought they have free food, free shelter, and all those things. But no, the actual tradition is different. The actual tradition, you have to go for alms round, pindapata. You have to go for alms round. Well, this is the tradition that creates the synergy between the lay people and the Sangha. When you go for alms round, you must be worthy of offering. That's why as a monk, you must really know what you are doing. You have to be worthy of offering. That's why you have to cultivate sincerely. You have to develop your parami. Then as you go for alms round, because of your parami, because of your sincerity, your faith and your credit worthiness, people make offering. Then the lay people, when they do this to a virtuous monk, a cultivator, they will receive a lot of wholesomeness. Yeah. Then in return, they will bless you. They will rejoice with your wholesomeness, your whatever good understanding. Yeah. Then sometimes if you partake in the what they call morning session, after they have been the pindapata, they will usually go back to the monastery and they share all this food with all the other devotees that come, and also some monks who may not be able to join in the pindapata because they could be sick or they have duties and all those things. And during this dana ceremony, they will develop mindfulness to mindfully receive their food, reflect and contemplate on their food. Then after that, they will chant the blessing. They will rejoice with the wholesomeness. Then they may also at the same time share with you the Dhamma. The lay people will benefit in this way. That's the reason why the Buddha said, if you keep your precepts, if you partake in all this Buddhist ceremony or activity, especially those who partake in all this ceremony, during those ceremony, they will have this puja chanting where they will teach you how to develop meritorious action. You pay respect, you develop the faith, you develop the merits. Then they also teach you how to take refuge. After chanting the salutation, take refuge. Then after you take refuge, they will normally renew your precept. Then they remind you of the importance of these precepts. Because like the Buddha said, this precept is the source of spiritual peacefulness of mind. That's why we always hear this chanting from the monk. Sile na sukanti yanti. Sile na bhoga sampadan. All this. So, this is to remind you that precept is the source of spiritual peacefulness of mind. Then precept is also the source of spiritual calmness, leading to spiritual joy, happiness. Then the last one is silena nibunting yanti. It's a source of spiritual wealth. Oh, sorry, that one is peacefulness. The bhoga sampadan is spiritual wealth. So you will receive this treatment. When you don't break the precept, your mind is very calm, very peaceful, because you have nothing to worry. You don't have to worry about people coming to know that you have stolen their thing, cheated on them, or your spouse come to know that you have cheated on them. Then you don't have to worry about those police case and all those things, or people coming to take revenge on you. So all this fear, worry, anxiety, they will not be there. They will not haunt you. That's why your mind will not be so restless. Your mind will have more peacefulness. That's why once you keep your precept, the three things will help you. Precept is a source of spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness. And that one is very useful. That is a source of spiritual wealth, source of spiritual joy, happiness. So when you have happiness, joy, peacefulness, and when you receive spiritual wealth through listening to the truth or the teaching, you can meditate better. Your mind becomes different. And all these are very wholesome, very meritorious. So that is the synergy you offer. The monks give back in return because they are worthy of offering and they are capable of sharing all this with you. So that is the way of the Sangha, the lineage. Yeah. But you don't have to always stick to that tradition. Yeah. Because there are a lot of cultivators who understand. They can also develop all this without having to renounce the world. In the actual sense that you have to become monk or nun. You can still be a lay person, but you have this understanding to renounce all those that are not real, the phenomenal world. So the first stage of renunciation, which the monks go through, they call it Kaya Viveka. Kaya Viveka means physical renunciation, means you give up everything related to this physical body. That's why after that they give you a new name. It's normally a spiritual name or religious name. Then you give up your family members and all those things, your tie, whatever, even your lay name and all those things. Then all your wealth, your possession, everything, you renounce them. That's why you go from the home to the homeless. Then you don't have children, you don't have wife, you don't have parents, you don't have anything. You are just a monk, a samana. So that was the intention. But as a cultivator, if you understand all this very clearly, you can also cultivate and reach that understanding. Then after that, whether to renounce or not to renounce is up to you. That's why I say this number 7 one is not a mass criteria. But they put it in because they are from that tradition, understand? Sakyamuni is tradition. And they believe that if you don't commit yourself to full-time as a renunciate, to cultivate, chances of you succeeding is not so high. But like I said, it depends on the individual. It's not what you do. What you decide to do can be one thing. But if your heart, if your understanding is not there and you're not committed, you're no different from a lay person. Sometimes a lay person who cultivate with understanding, he is a lot better than most of this so-called Sangha member or whatever. But here, please don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to ask you not to renounce and all of that, nothing to do with this. What I'm trying to explain is under this sutta, they call it the 8th type of realization sutta by cultivator and craving. They include the 7th one as something that you have to come to an understanding that finally, you must go forth. Otherwise, according to them, the lay life will have a lot of temptation that will draw you. And it's very difficult for you to cultivate. What do you think? What do you think? As a cultivator, let's say you read this sutta, what is your understanding? Come, give some feedback. What do you think? Do you think it's a must? Nobody want to try. Then what is your understanding of this particular aspect? Do you think you have to renounce and be a monk, then only you can cultivate full time? Yeah? Come, have some response. Otherwise, one-way traffic. You can just give your views and your understanding. Yeah. What do you think? Is the statement valid? You become a monk and renounce, you can cultivate full time. Yeah? Anybody want to try to answer that? Yeah? No, not necessary. Okay. If it's not necessary, then what is your new understanding? What is your new understanding? Yes, use the mic, Jinhao. Yes.
Not necessary. Because if you're able to apply all the Buddhist teaching into your daily life, and then balance your relationship with your family, your loved one, and your career, your friendships, other, and all aspects in your life, I think that will be better also.
Very good. Okay. Sadhu. Let us rejoice with Jinhao's attempt to answer. Very good. That's why you all have to try to develop that ability to express yourself. This is also a learning skill, especially for people who wants to come out into the career world. You can speak up and express yourself. It's very important. And as a young graduate, when you come out to the work environment, you will have a lot of meeting to attend to, interview to attend to, and you have to learn to speak up and express yourself. You can't speak out and express yourself and send a clear message through. It's very difficult for you to be successful in career or life. So what Jinhao has shared is very good. He said not necessary, because if you know how to apply the basic principle of the Dhamma, that is more important. Yeah. Then that brings to mind another very important aspect, isn't it? If you are not in the lay life, you cannot develop the daily mindfulness to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma in the midst of life, understand? A lot of this Dhamma principle, you cannot put to test. You cannot overcome them because you cut off from all those worldly things. Then you just focus on your meditation, your training and all those things. Then there are a lot of things that comes with life problem or situation. You may not have the condition to be tested. Yeah. And there are a lot of pro and con, the way I see it. Yeah. Because as a monk, you have your own restriction too. You have your own what they call monk's rules to follow. And these rules are a lot, 200 over, is to train you in mindfulness, to develop the training. Yeah. That's why I said from the very beginning, it depends on the individual. Yeah? The individual is very important. Then one of my teacher, I remember Ajahnyantra, used to tell me, even my last teacher also told me, he said, a monk is not in the rope. If the rope defines a monk, Ajahnyantra, that teacher, used to share this with me. He said, if the rope defines the monk, then you tie the rope to a tree, the tree also become monk. Understand? So, it is your understanding. Monk means you're really serious about cultivation. You want to renounce all these things. Of course, the tradition has this ordination to remind you, give you the name and give you some of this important teaching, like the five 5 out of the 32 parts, they will give it to you. Then they will tell you, especially Mahayana, what ordination means. The first shift means you renounce one. Then the second shift, you renounce one. The third shift, you renounce one. The end of the day is to develop the wisdom to renounce the phenomenal world. But it doesn't mean you have to go through all this to learn all this, to be reminded of all this. All this can be realized, can be understood, even as a lay person while undergoing the training. Because when you are serious about the practice, you can do it anywhere, any place, anytime, in whatever situation, any posture, any situation. That's why life itself is the meditation. The daily mindfulness is about meditation in daily life, in the midst of life. So that is the aspect that I want to highlight first, before we go into the sutta proper. Okay, now you can turn to the first page. We will start from the first realization. They use this word, the first awakening, is actually the more appropriate word is realization. The first realization that they will come to understand is the world is impermanent. This is the training that you need to develop so that you can understand impermanence. But the moment you awaken to impermanence, it don't have to be the world, understand not? Everything is impermanent because it's a universal characteristic. That's why the whole lot of phenomenal world, not only the world itself, is impermanent. Then the next thing that they talk about, the realization is countries are perilous. Perilous means dangerous, and fragile. So this one is about government and all those things. Then the body is a source of pain or suffering. Then ultimately empty. Then the 5 skandhas is the 5 aggregate of form and mind. They are not the true self. Then life and death is nothing but a series of transformation, hallucination, unreal means illusion, then uncontrollable. But this word uncontrollable, I think is a wrong translation. What is the actual Mandarin word? Pamasa, you can read the Mandarin version. I think at the back is the Mandarin version, isn't it? Can you read to me the Mandarin word?
Wu yin wu wo, sheng mie bian yi, xu wei wu zhu.
Then after that?
Xin shi er yuan.
After that?
Xin. Xing wei zui shu, lu shi guan cha, jian li sheng shi.
Yeah, after that.
That is the first one.
Yeah, after that, continue.
Okay, 第二觉知, 多义为苦, 生死疲劳, 从贪义起, 少义无为, 身心自在.
So different.
This is the second one.
No, the first one.
The first one, okay, I start from the beginning. 第一觉知, 世间无常, 国土为二, 四大苦空，五蕴无我，生灭变异，虚为无主，心是二元，行为罪数。
为行为罪数 ？Is the word? Read the word again. Pamasri, you translate. The word uncontrollable is not correct. No, you read the Mandarin. Read the Mandarin.
Xing means that form. Form.
No, no. Uncontrollable. What is the Mandarin word there? Why he use the word uncontrollable? That's like the translation something wrong. Maybe NBA or no. No, no. Read from the note. The note got Chinese word. The next page. No, no. The notes got the Mandarin word. Jinhao. No, read from the notes. The Mandarin. I want you to read from the notes. Read from the note, not from your God at the back, third page. Yeah, third page. Nah. Pastor Wing Bi, huh?
I got you from Pak Masuri.
Then why pass me back the one? Maybe use the mic to read it out. Because you read the Mandarin, it's more clear.
This is a different translation.
Huh?
世间无常 国土为...
This is still correct. Still correct.
四大若空,
it's still correct, this one.
无因无我,
still correct.
无因无我, 生灭变异,
what is 生灭变异?
生灭 is arising and cessation. 变 is changing. 异 is changing also. 异.
Okay, then the next one.
虚为无主.
What is the meaning?
Without a master, 无主.
That's why they translate as uncontrollable.
Not a controller behind.
No, no. You read the Mandarin again. I try.
虚为无主. 主人的主.
Oh, okay, okay. Then the translation is wrong. Enough. I just want that part. You see, here he put uncontrollable. Yeah. You see, when you have the wisdom, you can have the understanding to decide your life destiny. You understand? Do you understand that? Yeah? Can you follow that? That one, the forward, the second... the third and fourth word is 无主, isn't it? There is no owner behind, understand or not? That one is correct. There is no owner doesn't mean that you cannot control, understand or not? The first two words is what? Before 无主.
虚伪.
What is the meaning of 虚伪?
虚伪啊. 虚伪, 虚伪,
means the phenomenal world.
Hypocrites.
Hypocrite.
What's the hypocrites? 虚伪无主.
What is 虚伪? Not real, how come no owner? Means the phenomenal world is without owner. I think it's referring to the five aggregate. There is no permanent unchanging entity or owner behind the five aggregate. And that one you cannot translate as uncontrollable. You see, what they fail to understand is, like I always explain to you all, if you look at the whiteboard. This form of mind is, this one is not real, not you. So this one is the five aggregate. Five aggregate of form and mind. And you can say this one, there is no owner behind. No something that is permanent, unchanging, controlling it. Understand? But it doesn't mean that life is uncontrollable. Understand? There is no such thing as life is uncontrollable. If you understand life through the Dhamma, then life can be decided by the person who has this wisdom. That's why you can define your own life destiny. That's why the Buddha said, if you want to have good life destiny, you have to follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. But you must understand that this one is not you. But this one, when it develops wisdom through meditation, the mind, which understand and awaken, will develop what they call the wisdom. And this wisdom or understanding is connected to this form of mind. So it is this wisdom or understanding that can free your mind, that can bring about the understanding of life to develop your, what they call, beautiful life destiny. That's why it's not uncontrollable. Yeah. Control is about, like, controlling something. Based to them, they say, this five aggregate of form and mind, yeah, there is no ownership inside there. Nobody can own this one, where this is dependent originating, condition arising. But they don't understand it. This is connected to your inner nature. There is a nature within. The moment the form and mind can develop the meditation to connect to the inner nature, then it can awaken, it can understand and develop this wisdom. And when you have this wisdom and understanding, you understand the secret of life. You know how to live life. Then life can become different. That is the point that they miss out. So the word in Mandarin is correct, Wu Zhu. But the English translation of uncontrollable, maybe they try to give meaning to the Mandarin word. So you have to be careful with this understanding. But like I said, if you cultivate based on these notes and try to arrive at this understanding, then it becomes knowledge. Then you are really, really not benefiting. Yeah? Or you're wasting your time. But if you just cultivate sincerely, without wanting to know all this, then your understanding, your awakening that come, when you read this, you will understand what they are trying to say. But what they are trying to say is very, very like limited, because they couldn't explain the whole thing. Like the first sentence, the world is impermanent. What is the Mandarin word there? Si jian.
Si jian wu
cheng. Si jian to you means what? Worldly thing, or conditioned thing, or the phenomenal world. Si jian means what? Whatever within existence is not the world. You say the world is actually not correct. Of course, the world is impermanent. But the world means planet, understand? Our world. But you say existence, that is correct. Because the real understanding of impermanent is a universal characteristic. Universal means it applies to all things. That's why this Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, all of Sankara, they are impermanent, the Buddha say. And what is sankhara? Sankhara means mental states, mental activity, everything that your mind can do. That's why whatever that is perceivable is a phenomenon. So whatever that the mind can come to know and perceive is a phenomenon. So the phenomenal world is impermanent. Now that is a universal characteristic. So phenomenal world include everything within the conditioned world, existential world. Mind make are they, that's why they are all impermanent. So if you read this word, the world is impermanent, then you try to meditate, the world is impermanent. I tell you, you will do things the opposite way. We are you supposed to awaken through the silent mind, this universal characteristics of impermanent. And the moment you awaken to this universal characteristic, it's not just that particular phenomena of impermanent that you awaken to. The moment you awaken to the whole understanding of impermanent, that everything in this universe, the conditioned world, is all of that impermanent. But this only applies to the conditioned world. Yeah. Then countries are perilous and fragile. So all this is for you to see, yeah, that you try to be like nationalistic, patriotic and all those things, yeah, attached to your own nationality and all those things. It's not going to bring you anywhere, or you join politics and become leaders in the country and all those things, or you go and divide through all your segregation and infighting and all those things. So if you don't go through life, you cannot understand all these things. But when you go through life, then you understand that life itself has a lot of this reality. That's why it's better to go back to the Four Noble Truths. Because the Four Noble Truths, the moment you penetrate all these things that they are trying to tell you. And this one, to me, is very, very, I should say, not systematic and not clear. Then define aggregates. Just now, the body, they use the word four elements, is it? That's why there they use element. Then they say source of pain. Actually, they are trying to refer to suffering. But the first noble truth, reality of life and existence, is more clear, more deep, and more penetrative. I realize when I read all this, it maybe only help those new people to like make them aware that all these things are not conducive for the spiritual life, for the holy life, understand? Yeah? You cling on to things believing that they are permanent, the beautiful world, your beautiful wife and your money, then you will get into trouble, you won't leave the world, you won't cultivate and you won't understand. That's why they say the whole of existence is impermanent, so that you don't cling. But all this need to be realized, understand? Now, you cannot use knowledge to go and contemplate. Just think about it. And thinking that you already know, oh, the world is impermanent. Finally, I will die. I will get old. I will get sick. This one, initially, maybe it will give you some form of knowledge. Then if you really contemplate it deep enough, it will give you the second turning wisdom, contemplative wisdom. But usually it's not stable. You need the third turning to awaken. Then the intellect is a wellspring of the pitiwa. Then the body is a breeding ground of offenses. You see, all this is trying to tell you when you don't have the wisdom, you don't know how to use the body, then all these are true, understand? But when you have the wisdom and the understanding, all these become completely out, not true. It's just like the form and mind. You have to understand it's a vehicle and tool for you to come to this world. It's not that like we used to go through. This body creates a lot of bad karma, a breeding ground of offenses. But it depends on the user of the body, isn't it? If the user has Dhamma, has wisdom, that body can perform a lot of beautiful meritorious action, can allow you to develop the cultivation, to experience life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So what you say is a breeding ground of offenses? No. That's why it depends on the understanding, the user behind. Then he said, investigate and contemplate this truth. Gradually break free from birth and death. If you just do all this, you cannot. If you cultivate and come to the realization of this, then it's different. It's the other way around. That's why I like the translation by the Shi Ji one. Zhen Yan Fa Shi. You go and read that one. That one is more accurate. And he used the word 8 type of realization by the Bodhisattva. The sutra on the 8 type of realization by the Bodhisattva. There the translation is more accurate. We are just now, I happen to recall that I bought this book during the early years. Yeah, I want to know what they write. I remember the Mandarin word Pata Ren Jue Jing because the person who sold it to me told me in Mandarin. He said, you can understand this book. I said, I don't know. I just want to buy to read. Then I read the English translation. That's why he used the word realization is correct. But after you cultivate and you realize this, then this become important. But if you don't cultivate and realize, then you try to use this to go and cultivate, you get yourself entangled. Understand? That is the danger. Okay, then we go to the second awakening. Too much desire brings pain. Death and birth are very some ordeals, originating from your thoughts of greed, hatred, and delusion. Here they put greed there, greed on here. By lessening desire, we can realize absolute truth and enjoy peace, freedom, and health in body and mind. You can read the Mandarin version or not, Ingrid? Help me.
第二觉悟，知多欲为苦，生死疲劳，从贪欲起，少欲无为。
贪欲啊，欲 is what? 欲 is lust 啊。
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's another type of greed 啊。Desire 啊。
从贪欲起，少欲无为。
Oh, okay. You see, what they are telling you, if you lessen your desire, you can realize absolute truth and enjoy peace, freedom, and health in body and mind. What do you think of that statement? To me, that statement is not correct. Understand? By lessening desire, you cannot lessen your desire. Either you root it out with wisdom, or you haven't rooted it out. When you understand the danger of desire and lust, you have to root it out. That understanding and wisdom will free. You cannot lessen it. Lessening it means a form of suppression. Understand? Suppression means you try to like not let it come out. You try to lessen it. All these things will trigger our lust and desire. Then you don't want to think about it. You don't want to like confront it. So you are using various skillful means to suppress it. But deep inside, it's not rooted out. Understand? So when you are confronted with situation or a condition arise that lust or that desire can still arise, understand? Where you don't have the awakening, you don't have the realizing, you haven't had the understanding. So all this, if you already cultivate and realize the awakening, then all this word has meaning. Then you will also know some of the advice given is not appropriate, not that correct anymore. The first few in Mandarin is very good after hearing what Ng Bi described. too much desire brings suffering or pain, is correct. Desire means what? Craving. Huh? Craving means attachment, clinging, holding. So you got all this attachment, clinging, grasping and holding, it will sure bring you pain. So that's why you have to understand your greed, which is an evil root, is a source of suffering. That's why the three evil roots are root of all evil. They make you evil. This is the penetrative teaching. You have to understand the evil teaching. You don't try to just break it down into desire and lust and all those things. Any form of attachment, clinging, craving, grasping and holding on to anything can lead to suffering, misery. Because when separation occurs, when you cannot get what you want, suffering will be the result. Then death and birth or rebirth are wearisome ordeal. You see, this is only true when you don't have the Dhamma, understand? You understand? Yeah? When you have the Dhamma, birth and death to me is normal, understand? It's only the five aggregate of form and mind, that segmented life. It has nothing to do with you, understand? You use it to live life, to develop the understanding and all those things. That's why when you have the understanding, all this become not that true anymore. These are referring to people who are still not awakened. They are still in samsara. So maybe it's to alert those who started the cultivation. That's why I say it's more suited for beginners or those who started to walk that way to develop the initial cultivation. So you have to read through this so that you understand. We are to them, you cannot liberate from birth and death. The outcome is suffering, you see. So they will have this understanding. Wherever there is birth, there will be always sickness and death. That's why the whole mess of suffering is there. That statement is only true because it's a reality of life and existence when you deludedly grasp and cling and hold, when you don't have the Dhamma. But the moment the Dhamma is there, then all this is not true. Then he said it originates from the thought of greed and lust. But behind thought of greed and lust is what? Yeah? What is the culprit? Ignorant. That one was not stressed. Then ignorant, the biggest ignorant is self-delusion, sakkayadity. It's because of that that all this come about. So he said, by lessening desire, you can realize absolute truth. No more meaning, isn't it? It is completely out, isn't it? If you don't know that the greed is only the evil root born of self-delusion and ignorance, you go and lessen greed for what? It's not going to help you. If you cannot understand that the five aggregate of form and mind is not you, you cannot realize absolute truth, understand or not? Then there is no peace, no freedom in body and mind. Because when you don't understand that this five aggregate of form and mind is empty and not you, impermanent, condition arising, dependent, originating, what happens when you are sick and near death? You have fear, understand? Worry, anxiety. Because you don't know what death is, and you don't know who died and what died. That's why all this, when you have the understanding, you were awakened. Then you don't need all this. To me, this is not useful for cultivation. But they have a sutta for it. No? I didn't see the sutta in the Theravada. Is it in the Theravada? This sutta? I haven't heard of this. I haven't heard of Suwano talking on this also. But now my view will go through. The third one is, our mind are never satisfied or contented with just enough. So this one is about contentment. The more we obtain, the more we want. Thus we create offenses and perform evil deeds. Bodhisattva don't wish to make this mistake. Instead, they choose to be contented. They nurture the way, live a quiet life in humble surrounding. Their sole occupation, cultivating way. Ah, this is good advice, understand? So this one, the third realization, is very important. He said, this mind cannot be satisfied with craving and desire, born of self-delusion, sakayaditi will always be there. Read the Mandarin one, English.
第三觉悟，知心无厌住，唯得多求，增长罪恶。菩萨不尔，常念知足，安平守道，very
good.
为慧事业。
Sadhu. Which means this should be the way of the Bodhisattva. Live a contented life. That's why contentment is one of the highest blessings, highest wealth. When you have contentment, you are beautiful. That's why the Bodhisattva will know they choose contentment over possession. That's why trying to own thing. Nothing belongs to you. Why do you want to own anything? They are all dependent originating condition arising. Like I say, got condition, they like belong to you. Like good food. Got good food, eat. Understand? No good food, don't complain. You understand? Contentment must come with wisdom. This is the way things are. Condition like that, things will be like that. Like sometimes when we go overseas for any tour or spiritual trip, if we go to a very cold country, where the condition is very harsh, with all the money, so what? The condition like that, you have to endure. Understand? Like last time, I remember Sam. You remember Sam? My good friend? He was trapped in Thailand. Hat Yai, the flood, you remember? The once in the 10 or 20 year flood. Very severe flood. He was staying at this very nice hotel, in the middle of Hat Yai, the most famous one, I forgot the name already. Very tall one. Hong Lei Kio, I mean hotel. We used to stay one last night. Never mind, no need to remember the hotel. So the story is, that night when they were there, the place was just raining and look normal. Then middle of the night, the flood came, and they didn't know, where they were on the 20th floor. Then the wife woke up, he called Sam, he called him by Cantonese, lokong, lokong, lokong. He said, how come down there like sea? Oh, water everywhere. Then Sam said, no, this is serious flood. And you know what happened? Because of the flood, the basement all flooded, the car all gone, and the hotel cut off. No more food from outside. The kitchen all, I think everybody was trying to get food. Then a lot of these tourists, some are Singaporean, because they got money, their money very big. And they go there, they say they want to buy up all the food. Oh, Sam couldn't take it anymore. He can tell them all. You think only you got money? I also got money. But what is the use of money when we are in such situation? Understand? He said we have to plan how to ration our food. Understand? That is more important, isn't it? True or not? Talking about money, you think only you got money? He said I also got a lot of money. But we are not fighting over food. Just because we are scared, we are fearful, we are panicked. If we do that, this is selfishness. You will cause chaos within the area. Because people can become very, very desperate and very violent. Where that fear factor can trigger adrenaline and do all sorts of things. So luckily after that, they agree. And you know, the misery is to get water. The mother was with him, the two children was here, and Sam and the wife, the two of them have to walk 20 over floor up and down just to bring some water and provision up. When you are trapped for a few days, then you will know how is it like. So all this is understanding. So understanding is very important. So this advice, contentment, is also very useful. Then what you need to do is you have to develop the understanding that contentment has to come with understanding. When conditioned like that, you have to accept the reality, make the wise choice and decision and move. And you have to think of the many, not only for yourself, selfishly. That is a time where love, understanding has to prevail. Then finally they all survive, because they ration the water. Each family within the hotel room, you can only have certain amount of water. Then after that, the hygiene, all those things, you have to take precaution. Because they say you have to be prepared a few days. A lot of things cannot come in. The whole town is flooded and very severe. Then the aids from the government later on came. But not enough to distribute. We have too many people in the hotel. So you are caught in such situation, you have to count your blessing. Then luckily for Sam, he paid one person in Thailand every time to like chauffeur him one. And this person is very good. He managed to call him through the handphone. Then he answered. He said his village also flooded. But he said, "You don't worry." He said, "Uncle Sam, you don't worry. I will come and fetch you." He said. You know what he did? He go and hire a small boat, like a sampan like that one. Then he swim all the way with the small boat there to actually evacuate Sam and the family. And he was very smart now when he heard about that flood. I think Sam's car was parked somewhere, I forgot already. Oh, sorry, his car, where he fetched Sam there. Sam didn't drive. His car, he go and park somewhere quite high, you know. Then luckily his car was not affected. Then he took Sam and family out through an alternative road. That's why they survive, and they don't have to go through the second and third day, only one day, one night. The next morning, that guy came. So you must have good parami. Okay, we go to the fourth one. Idleness and self-indulgence are the downfall for people. Now, this one is good advice. You know what is idleness? Laziness. Laziness. This one is to let you understand that this bring about downfall. That's self-indulgence also. Means you got a lot of this self-indulgence, your desire, your craving, and you indulge a lot on other senses like nightlife and all those things, gambling, smoking, intoxicant and all those things, indulgence. Are the downfall of people. With unflagging vigor, great people break through their affliction and baseness. They vanish or vanquish and defeat the four kinds of demons and escape from the prison of the five aggregates. Now read to me the Mandarin, English.
第四觉悟，知懈怠堕落，常行精进，破烦恼恶。 吹拂四魔，触阴界，一。
Yeah, they talk about the five aggregate. That's why the translation different. So this fourth realization is very important: self-indulgence and laziness. But here he say with unflagging vigor. This one is. Should be virya, virya, virya. Then is correct. Because you just like determined not to be lazy. Not much use, because it just for that moment only. After that, you forget again. But But when you understand the importance of this cultivation, doing all this cultivation or practice, then this virya, born of sadha, born of understanding, is very important. That's why you must have the understanding that this lead to downfall, and you will never allow your mind to be lazy and to have this self-indulgence. And then you can break free. Then the fifth awakening or realization, stupidity and ignorance are the cause of birth and death, which is correct. So bodhisattva apply themselves and deeply appreciate study and erudition, constantly striving to expand their wisdom and refine their eloquence. Nothing brings them greater joy than teaching and transforming living beings. So this realization also very important, because ignorance is the main culprit. They are the cause of birth and death. So when you know ignorance is the cause, what must you do? You must develop wisdom to severe ignorance. That's why this one is a very important realization. And it's from here, ignorant, that all the other things come about. The evil roots, the grasping, the clinging, through all the sakayadity. I read the Mandarin, see what they write.
第五觉悟，愚痴生死，菩萨常念，广学多闻，增长智慧，成就辩才，教化一切。
This is very useful. But like I said, all this, when you cultivate, you will understand. You don't have to actually need a sutta to remind you of this. You just cultivate. And when you awaken or realize, all this is like normal, common knowledge. The sixth awakening, suffering in poverty breeds deep resentment. Wealth unfairly distributed creates ill will and conflict among people. Thus, bodhisattva practice or cultivate dana parami, giving. They treat friends and foes alike. They do not harbor grudges or despise immoral people. Means you don't look down on people and all things. So this is a very important realization. But the more important realization is, if you don't have dana parami, not enough dana parami, then certain life when you come, the condition and situation can be very harsh. Then you have to understand, when you are confronted with poverty, normally your mind state are no good. That's why they say suffering in poverty breeds deep resentment. But when you have the bodhisattva vow, this thing will not happen. Despite your condition, whether you are in poverty or what, your mind is still very beautiful. There is no suffering and no resentment, nothing. So this part, the cultivator or bodhisattva, they will know. But they will cultivate extensively their dana parami. So when they have dana parami, most of their birth will be beautiful. They don't have to undergo those very harsh conditions where life are very difficult. Then they also will not harbor grudges or despise all those deluded people or immoral people. Then the seventh one we have gone through. I haven't asked Amy to read the sixth one. Read the Mandarin one.
第六觉悟 知贫苦多冤 恒结恶缘，菩萨不思，等无冤亲，不念旧恶，不争恶人。
Oh, very good. This one, the translation is correct. Okay, seventh one we have done. We move to the eighth. Seventh one, you read the Mandarin and say, Amy.
第七觉悟，无欲过患。 虽为俗人，不染世乐，常念三一，瓦婆法器，自愿出家，守道清白，梵行高远，慈悲一切。
Yeah, That one is for the Sakyamuni's lineage. Yeah? Where this lineage believe in the Sangha and all those things. So, if you really are very resolved in going this way, then you can try the renunciation way to see how it's like. Many people will do it during certain stages of their cultivation. But after you have passed certain stages, you will come to understand that you don't have to go that way to cultivate. That's why Pusa come in many, many ways, many, many forms, the Bodhisattva. And sometimes they come, most of the time, even you look at the Jataka story, Sakyamuni Buddha himself, many of this lay life that he take, they are not within the Sangha. They are only within the Sangha much later. Then he develops the lineage because of his affinity with that type of lineage. That's why I explained under the Tuesday class. How many of you have heard the recording or the audio file? Nobody? Oh, only one or two. The sharing inside there is very good because Hui Rong asked, if Sakyamuni Buddha at that time, age 29, when he saw the four signs, he has not gone forth because the wife just gave birth to Rahula, can he still become a Sammāsambuddha? You go and listen. That one is very good. I explain everything. Because of his lineage, that's why he must go forth. And he go forth with understanding. That's why you cannot say, how can Sakyamuni Buddha be so cruel? Walk out on the wife that just give birth to his first child. And no, because of his vow, because of his understanding, his way, the tradition, all these things already fall into place and it has to happen. That's why he did it with understanding, not with selfishness and desire. Also, that's why his way, his tradition is that way, he will renounce. He will do that. Even if he don't do that, let's say if he don't have that tradition, that lineage, he can still become a Sammāsambuddha, no problem. But because his lineage is way, and there were other reasons for that. I gave 3-4 other reasons. Sujata is one of them, the mock rice offering. Then the two teacher, Alara and Udaka. And also there are some other conditions. Okay, the 8th awakening or the 8th realization. Like a blazing inferno, birth and death are plagued with suffering and affliction. Therefore, great people resolve to cultivate the great vehicle to rescue all beings, to endure hardship on behalf of others, and to lead everyone to ultimate bliss. So this 8th awakening is for those who go the Bodhisattva way, to take the vow. They suddenly use the word the great vehicle. So these are the 8 truths that all Buddhas and Bodhisattva and great beings awaken to. Once awakened, they even more energetically continue to cultivate the path, steeping themselves in kindness and compassion. They grow in wisdom. They sail the Dhamma ship across the Nirvana shore, and then return onto the sea of birth and death to rescue living beings. They use this 8 truth to show the proper cause for living beings, causing them to recognize the anguish of birth and death. They inspire all to forsake the 5 desires and to cultivate their mind in the manner of sages. If Buddhist disciples recite this sutta on the 8th awakening and constantly ponder its meaning, they will certainly eradicate boundless offenses, advance towards Bodhi, and will quickly realize proper enlightenment. They will always be free of birth and death, and will abide in eternal bliss. Oh, this one is on Xianhua, the city of 10,000 Buddhas. Okay, read the Mandarin one.
Anyway. 第八觉悟, 普济一切，愿代众生受无量苦，令诸众生毕竟大乐。阿那律，前面所讲的八事，这是诸佛菩萨大人的觉悟。修学觉悟的人，要用慈悲的心，多来修复修慧，趁着法身的船划到涅槃的彼岸，再来人间广度众生，就能脱出生死，永远安乐。欧善屯顶礼敬劝。That's all.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this type of sutta, I think, may be popular with the Mahayana practitioner, huh? And they like to remind themselves, huh, of all this, so that they will not deviate. The main aim and intent is just that. Then they can also, as they do this work, advise the living being, not to be lazy, not to be deluded, not to have self-indulgence, not to have all this craving and desire and all those things. But essentially, the way I look at it, the Four Noble Truths is more comprehensive and detailed. So when you have that Four Noble Truths properly understood and cultivated, you will be able to expand on all those things. But the problem with the Four Noble Truths is living beings are not interested, especially when they got no problem, when they are going through life with all the money and all the nice things. So what they usually call is, I used to use that word, the world of we are living in a world of very high sensuality, you understand? Sensuality, you understand? The sensuality nowadays is so much more than our father's time. Or let's say 30, 40 years ago, a lot of the things we are experiencing now, the sensuality is so different, so high, compared to that time. So during this era, when all these good things are around, where they can have all this, not only good food, good life, good music, good experiences and all those things, you think they got time to listen to your Dhamma and Four Noble Truths? They say, don't waste my time. They would rather go enjoy life. Especially the teenager. The only few exceptions is like Mimi's son. That's a very, very rare one. Then maybe some of us that have our karmic past. We look at things differently. If I ask you a question, let's say you are just born maybe 20 years ago, and you are now aged 20 plus a bit, just after graduate or while in the U. With this type of sensuality, this type of world, do you think you will come to the Dhamma? Envy very strong. Is it? Yeah, still come to the Dhamma. When I was at MU, although the level of sensuality was not high, but this nature, because of the vow, because of the all this, what they call understanding from the past. 4 or 5 years already searched. I got no suffering, no problem, nothing. But inside already searched. Then it will just go through its own understanding, and the condition will arise, and things just unfold and manifest. And this is only possible when you have cultivated for very, very long with that type of understanding, and you know how to come and determine very strongly through all those bodhisattva vow, the four basic vow, with all the other miscellaneous vow, aspiration, determination, affirmation, to have all those right understand, right view, very important right view. Otherwise, when you come, you become miserable. You connect very late. But when you determine with affirmation all this understanding, then all this understanding will come with your nature. Then the moment you hear truth or you see truth, the nature just arise and understand or awaken to it. And that will make a big difference to your life. That's why you don't have this understanding when the sasana is there, especially this window. You determine it will help you a lot. I didn't know the first talk on the Bodhisattva Way, introduction to the Bodhisattva Way that I gave on the 2nd of January 2015. It was so beautiful, you know, it covers so many things. You know. I didn't know until I just finished the editing today. Now I'm going through the first round of proofreading. I think by tomorrow I should get it out. Then I send it out to you. Then you will understand how all the conditions fall into place and how I started sharing this. And so beautiful, all those things. That's why you must understand them clearly. Then after that, this way become very easy. And you will have the parami and condition to determine, because during the sasana, this is the best time to cultivate merits, wholesomeness, understanding. And because you have this, you invoke and determine strongly through your vows, through your aspiration, affirmation, aditan, it will come true. You have to plant the seed of bohi. Even you have taken before, you have to renew the affirmation, renew the what they call vows, and affirm it very, very strongly through power, merits, and sincerity and faith. Then you determine to have this right view, this right understanding, life after life, whenever this form of mind has to come or choose to come. Then you also make aspiration for causes and conditions for you to have affinity with all the great beings. Then you seek their blessing, protection and guidance. And the last one is the most important one, is to make that right view and right understanding to ask for forgiveness, to break all your coming obstruction, life after life, so that you can walk this path of Bodhisattva Way with ease and understanding. And all these are all stated in the Bodhisattva Vow, the paper that I prepared for you all. So you have to read through, reflect, contemplate, and determine to have all this understanding. Then when you have this understanding and you come, all this sutta got no more problem. The moment you read, you understand. No matter what variation they put, you will understand. Even the Diamond Sutta, the Heart Sutta, the Surangama Sutta, or even the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, all this very profound sutta, you will have the understanding because your nature become different. And especially when you determine this life, when the sasana is there, when your parami is there, you don't have to wait for next sasana. During this sasana before it ends and after it ends to the next one, in between you will have that ability to cultivate despite the fact that sasana is no more. After the 5,000 years or 4,500 years, which means we got another 2,000 years or so. After that, you can still cultivate because of your vow, your determination, your understanding. And this is very important. Then after that, by the time you hit the next sasana, you can become like great beings. Come and teach and share all your understanding with the beings that have affinity with you. Then you play a different role. Last time, you develop what they call affinity, or this great being benefit from their teaching. Then now you have your nature. You can also benefit others. That's why you will do this work. Like in the past, this nature of mind, it received. Then later on, it developed its own understanding, its own determination, faith, sincerity, cultivation, and perseverance. Then when the nature develops, it has the condition to have this understanding, and it comes with this understanding. Then all those that have affinity, they have the condition to receive all this, they will be around when your nature arises. So this is how this Bodhisattva way, the cultivation, can really make a big difference to your understanding. This understanding is way beyond the sainthood way. And this one goes with that nature, that understand. And there is a lot of things. That's why Kuan Yin Bodhisattva say, when you realize true emptiness, existence become wonderful, meaningful, beautiful. And there is such thing as life. There is such thing as existence. Form in mind, it can be very beautiful when you can come with it, connect early and have all this understanding. Then live this beautiful life. It's really, really something extraordinary. Beautiful, really beautiful. Okay, 10:30 we end. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So at least we finish this sutta. And please don't get me wrong. Don't go and say, brother, say this eight realization, the eight awakening sutta, no need one, not even. No, no, no. It's because my nature don't need it. Understand? But if your nature need it, you better go and study. A lot of Mayana have high respect for this sutta. Understand? Oh, my wife alarm come 10:30. Means this clock a bit fast. Very good. You see, it depends on your affinity, your condition with different beings, different teaching, and different sutta, and different way of learning. That's why this life, like I told you all, my nature don't have affinity with India and Burma. I don't know why. I never go there. And even India, they talk about the four holy places. I never have the condition, but there's no affinity. And my nature's affinity is somewhere else. And when it arises, even teacher and guide that I don't know, they come. You don't have to go and look for them. So all these things will unfold and manifest because everyone is different, like what I share in the sharing with you all in the Bodhisattva way, that four sharing. I think the first one is so far the best. You wait, I will try to share it. I hope I finish by tomorrow. Then I will send it out. Then you all help in the proofreading. The English, we want to finalize it early. Then I will work on the last section. The last section, I think, quite fast. The last section is the second sharing. Before the third sharing, they are all connected. Okay, we will now recall to mind. And rejoice with all the wholesomeness, then we share this merit with all beings. Starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tina hotu suhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tina hotu suhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tina hotu suhita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu 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 keep your respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones, then we end.
Sorry.